The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcast after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here on Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, and I've got Bob Savage here in the studio with me.
As always, and I believe we have a caller on the line just to start the show right out. Dennis Miller, Southern California, go ahead.
Thank you, my friend. About this local state tax, I am so indignant. Oh, sorry, that's your line.
So we meet again here on the WYSL stations, and looking forward to your appearance coming up here in March.
Well, I talked to Mark yesterday. Let me shut this straight for a second. God, it's hot. I know that sounds bad to people back in the snow belt, but it's hot out here today in Santa Barbara. I talked to Mark yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Pardon?
I said, sure, rub it in. Go ahead.
As soon as I said it, I tried to gather it back into my pie hole because I said people in that part of the country don't want to hear you say, let me shut the drape, the sun's so hot. So anyway, sorry about that. A faux pas on my part.
That's okay. No big deal. It's just 6 degrees this weekend and about a foot of snow anyway. But, you know, typical upstate New York weather.
You'll be all cozy inside watching the championship game. So it's all good. I talked to Mark Stein yesterday, and we figured out the layout of the show. And he had me laughing uproariously just as we figured out what we're going to do. So I'm feeling good about it.
Awesome. Well,
do tell. So tell us a little bit about the layout of the show, can you? Can you give us a little a preview? How it's going
to
come down?
Well, we wanted to be completely in keeping with the new theme in this country of socialism. Wanted to come out at the beginning, and we're going to flip a Canadian toonie to figure out who goes first. So, and then one of us will do 30 minutes, then the other will do 30 minutes. Mark is going to sing in the middle of his, he told me, which sounds good. And then I am building my part of the show is not singing. Then we're going to take a 15-minute break, then do around 40 minutes of Q&A. I asked him, I said, some guys like to have the cards beforehand so they know. And he said, no, I'd rather just freeform it. So we're going to put a couple mics at the front of the room. And anybody can have at it or rip us or praise us or ask for some information or ask for a joke, whatever they want. We're going to go bareback on that. And I think it'll be a good evening of entertainment.
Absolutely. My appetite is whetted. By the way, Dennis, I introduce you to Andrew Hollister, who actually ran for lieutenant governor on the Libertarian ticket here last time out.
How's it going, Dennis?
Hey, Andrew. How are you, my friend?
Doing good.
How did you do, brother?
We didn't land where we wanted to be. However,
he's still here in the studio, Dennis, so that's it. There's a hint right there.
No,
well,
politics
are so screwed up now. When you said we didn't land where we wanted to be, I thought that was your way of telling me you won, because who wants to be in that demented goat shtup? You're a young man, it sounds like. Stay out of there. Those are all bet hedgers.
No, absolutely. We did, however, get ballot status for the Libertarian Party, which they've been trying to do for 46 years and haven't been able to do it. So that was a big accomplishment for us.
Well, somebody's got to lay their body on the parapets at the Bastille, so good for you. Now they, you know, you're not there. It's like Moses getting people to the gate, and then he's not allowed in, but at least you did the right thing and got ballot status. So good for you.
Yep. Thank you very much. So your show's going to be at the Kodak Center on March 1st. That's a Friday. How can people find out more about the show and get tickets and all that good stuff?
Well, I know it's a Ticketmaster, and obviously the Kodak Center would have some box office information, but I'm just going to say the thing that most people say is tickets are available at Ticketmaster. And I said to Mark, why don't we just rent an old Goodfellas car and go up there and sell them out of the back of the trunk? And he said, too cold right now. It's going to be 6 this weekend. So we passed on that. But tickets are always available at Ticketmaster. And then there's a place called, I don't even think I want to mention it. I think they're a competitor, so I'll say Ticketmaster.
Okay, cool, cool. And did I, so I saw that you've got, is this show Fake News Real Jokes, or is it a spinoff of that? Because I saw it's on Amazon, iTunes, Steam, Google Play, like all over the place. Is this
like a true millennial? Show? He has to rattle off all the platforms for you, Dennis. Yeah, you know, have the hipness factor
sure
in there.
Everybody, you know, knows where to find his content. Absolutely.
Wow, millennials, boy, they like you know, they are all over that world. Never have lives less lived been more chronicled. Sorry to throw the shot at you there, kiddo.
No,
that was my solo special, my 9th one, and it did pretty well at the end of last year. I was happy with it, and sold some screaming. And this is Mark and I in a different thing called the Adorable Deplorable Tour, where I've written a new 20, and I haven't seen his yet. And like I said, a lot of it's just going to be bandage that happens during the evening, so I can't predict what that'll be. But there'll be a few jokes from the Fake News Real Jokes special, but this will be new.
Kind of a experimental dimension to this whole thing, I gather, because you and Mark have now worked together, I understand.
No, we're going to do these 4 dates and see how it falls. Now, when I've interacted with him at dinner, or we have our phone calls, he makes me laugh uproariously. He's a super brainy guy. So, you know, the funny part is what shocks you. I always knew he was clever, but Jesus, he's funny. But he's a brilliant cat. I was the one who solicited this at first because I was just so enamored of him from afar. I thought he and Jordan Peterson resonate with me. They make so much sense. So I called Mark. He was amenable. So we're going to try 4 of them up there in the Northeast Corridor because he's a busy cat right now and he lives out that way. And I don't mind coming back east for a week. And in between the 2 shows on one weekend and the 2 shows on the other, I'm going to shoot down to spring training in Florida with my one son for a week. And so we'll after these 4 shows, we'll know, I think we'll coexist peacefully. We'll see if we sell any tickets and if the crowd digs the rhythms of it. Get us a couple good Yelp reviews and we're onward and upward.
Well, you know, a light bulb just went on over my head. I don't know if you saw that while you were just mentioning Jordan Peterson, because I saw him at the very same venue where you guys are going to be. That was last September. Now, there's potential there. Jordan Peterson and Dennis Miller. Ever give that some thought?
I would like to go out with Stein, too, because just to sit and watch those two work off each other would be invigorating. I'd feel like Enrico Fermi accelerating the particles at the cyclotron at the University of Chicago. How was Peterson, by the way? I've watched around 5 of his things, and I always say, if I had to debate one person on the planet that I wouldn't debate, it'd be him.
Yeah, no, that would not be advisable. Very smart. There's a droll quality there that actually reminds me of you. He totally transfixed the house, and I'll tell you, Dennis, I was very encouraged by the audience, because not only was it overwhelmingly young male, they were all dressed for the occasion. They're all wearing sport coats, and the Q&A was it was very probing. There was a lot of soul, a lot of interest there, a lot of insight that we tend to be, I don't know, kind of dismissive of the younger generation, and this gave me a lot of hope. The audience for Jordan.
Well, listen, if you buttress Jordan Peterson up against the occluded front that is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you'd have a thunderstorm breakout. It'd be a perfect, it'd be like a Northern Banks-type thunderstorm breakout. And that's what it's come down to in this country. You've got guys like Peterson, they're decried as Nazis. You've got people like Ocasio-Cortez, who actually is a socialist, and she bridles at the socialist thing and just says she's more feeling than you. That's what it's coming down to in this country. That's the one thing about Trump that you really have to admire, is he has put the jeweler's loop on a cultural bifurcation that is going to come to a head sometime. And I don't mean in a civil war. They always play that card on you. It's going one way or the other in 2020. They're either going to run Kamala Harris or Cory Booker or some of the ancient mariners, Biden, maybe Hillary again, Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist, and they're going to do it against the, what's this Dow up today, 25 or 500? The country's turning along pretty well. It had a big burp. He called it a hiccup. I'll call it a burp in December. But the country is going along pretty well. I don't see missiles being lobbed into the Sea of Japan. I think we've gotten the attention of most idiots in the world, and they know that this guy's not to be trifled with. And you're going to have to go into 2020 and say, do you like what you see now or not? And I can't predict. I saw James Woods wrote a great article today, or they interviewed him on Breitbart, him saying, take Ocasio-Cortez lightly at your own risk. Because believe it or not, there's around 50% of this country that favors that approach and favors what Trump's going on right now. Listen, Trump is a rough guy. He plays rough. He plays loose with it. But say this about him. His outer voice is an accurate depiction of his inner voice, warts and all. I don't think Ocasio-Cortez's outer voice and inner voice have ever even had a cup of coffee together.
Nice riff. Appreciate that very much. And I think that the president has underscored the idea in this country that I just lost it. Go ahead, Andrew, take it away.
Oh,
just one. This is the curse of being 69 years old, Dennis.
You know Edvard Munch's famous painting, The Scream, where the colors all resonate out. I guarantee you, if you had a Polaroid of Pelosi on that bus yesterday, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference from Pelosi's photo and Munch's The Scream, because she must have went bat guano.
Oh, I'm sure. After seeing that letter go out, I could only imagine. Like,
I love that letter. By the way, your Free-to-Fly commercial. Oh, my God. I found that so cathartic. I know they're going to call it childish, and I'm going to say maybe it's time we get a little childlike in this country then, because that's exactly it. They're on our dime, and they treat us like we're less than a plug nickel, and that's a problem in this country right now.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. And you hit it right. You know, you're Free-to-Fly commercial. Yeah, if, you know, a whole bunch of other people, they're not getting their paychecks, paid out of your own pocket. So
listen, the last time Pelosi or Schumer flew commercial, they can't remember if it was Orville or Wilbur who lost their bag.
Got it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Miller, the adorable deplorable, or is it deplorable adorable? Tour coming up here March 1st at the Kodak Center. Tickets available at Ticketmaster, as Dennis has told us. Thanks so much for being on the program, Dennis.
Nice to talk to you guys. Good luck on your next run there, brother. But like you said, it's all incremental. You took the first step. Someday they'll look back on you and say that's the cat who got us on the ballot. So congrats.
Thank you very much.
Later.
Dennis Miller on Radio Free New York. And we will be right back with Andrew C. Hollister and more discussion for your Friday program. Thanks for joining us.
We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. Great pizza, fresh and good.
This is Dom Genova, owner of Genesee Valley Motors in Avon, your no-nonsense car dealer. Well, we're your no-nonsense truck dealer, too, selling Rams and Fords up to the mightiest that they make. And we have a shop with Master Techs open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., 6 days a week, even Saturday, so you can get your truck serviced when it's not billing hours for you. You may not be used to that. Visit RochesterWorkTrucks.com. That's RochesterWorkTrucks.com.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right. Welcome back to Radio Free New York. We just had Dennis Miller on the show. So if you missed it, catch it on the podcast. Catch it on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And we're streaming live there right now on all of those platforms.
I was going to say, what's happening on the platforms? Any people in Slobovia?
You know, actually, the overwhelming majority of the people who at least tune into the live stream are Western New York. So I've got a couple, every once in a while, I'll see a few pop in from Czech Republic. My friends from Czech Republic will pop into the live stream here. But when I look at the stats, where although you could access it anywhere in the nation, it's pretty heavily Western New York and a few other spots along there.
Guys, there's this thing called the radio.
Yeah.
You ever try that? It's like this little box, and you just twist the knob to the right, and you listen until you hear Andrew.
Yep. That's how it works.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
No keyboards necessary?
No, nothing. And you can catch it on your phone and stuff, too. So the interesting thing about Dennis Miller is, man, that guy's got a resume like a mile long.
Yeah, you know, he's been everywhere, man. He's been everywhere, like the song says. And the interesting thing is the last time we talked to him, he said that he was kind of burned out on and trying to position himself away from politics. But boy, from our conversation, you couldn't tell that.
He just took
right off on Trump and Pelosi and Ocasio-Cortez and...
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. So I and I don't know if the listeners really know this or not. So I grew up. I didn't really grow up watching television, believe it or not. I've never actually had cable in any home that I've lived in ever in my life. And maybe that's why I'm what a lot of people would call a free thinker. I don't know. So when it came up, I was like, man, I gotta go research, watch some of his stuff. You know, make sure I'm up to date on just what's going on with him. And as I was talking with people, it didn't matter where somebody's background was from. They just loved the guy. Didn't matter if they were dye-in-the-wool Democrats or super red Republicans, younger or older. It didn't matter. People just really enjoy hearing him, enjoy his comedy, everything. So he's done a pretty good job, I'd say. But the one thing that was consistent all across, and I wondered, I actually told my wife this as I was driving over here, is he has this thing where he just always has to hit Pelosi, which I'm fine with. It's funny, but every
single tempting target.
Yeah. So, and sure enough, he did. So he didn't leave. He did exactly how I thought he did. So he's consistent for sure.
Okay, let's go circle back. You're telling us about how you grew up without television. Was that a matter of choice, or how did that come? You just weren't interested in it.
I think it was a combination of things, right? So some of the combination was my mother was just very much against television. Very, very against television. Kind of technology.
So you grew up in what, the late 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I was born in 88, so I grew up, you know, mid to late 90s. By the time I was in like middle school and high school, I was just outdoors a lot. I did track, soccer, things like that. And just spend time with my friends. You know, what I did with my friends was we'd get on bikes and go on bike rides on the canal path.
This sounds like my childhood. There was television, but it was nothing like it is today. I mean, literally, most of my childhood, there were two TV stations available in Rochester. Yep. And as a matter of fact, for about half of that time, TV didn't sign on until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. There's like daytime TV.
Interesting.
I don't know. I never missed it. And I did exactly what you did, out on the bikes.
Yep. I spent a lot of time outdoors and
out poking things and doing stuff that, you know, young boys do.
Yep. And, you know, I think the fact that we never had cable was just, you know, we were a family of seven. You know, it was hard to provide for a family of seven. So I think it never made financial sense to have cable. So we just never had it.
And cable's always been relatively expensive, hasn't it?
I feel like it's pretty expensive. Yeah, but
it's nuts. I mean, a $200 monthly cable bill is not unusual.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like more than that's almost more than a car payment, depending on what you got, you know, $200-$300. So it was interesting checking that out. Somebody actually commented in on YouTube, though, and said that, you know, there's a lot of problems with fake news, referencing the title that I brought up that I thought the show was for Dennis Miller. And they said
a lot of problems with Dennis Miller's show.
The problems with fake news.
We know that.
But what they said that a lot of people don't talk about the issue with fake news is people can't agree on what real news is. Which is actually pretty valid, because what people define as real news many times ends up being just whichever side they're on. Opinion. It's not fact.
This whole fake news thing is the subjective nature of it should be readily apparent to anybody. And, you know, my facts are your fake news and vice versa. And it's kind of because it's such a semantic and subjective thing, it's a kind of a ridiculous discussion to have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's interesting that that came up, and I'm like, yeah, you know, you're right, because people will be like, oh, Fox News is fake news, CNN is fake news, like every news is fake news because they don't agree with it, not that it's not accurate. And I think as a society and as culture, we need to go back to the idea of let's look at facts. And we've talked about on other shows how things are being promoted as analysis when really they're just opinions. And I think the other issue is, and, you know, being a technology guy, I love the internet, but what has happened is it's become so saturated with opinions that it's really hard to find accurate information anywhere, whether it's television, radio, internet, printed newspaper. It's just really convoluted. So,
well, it's kind of like the tyranny of choice, you know, when the expatriates come over from Eastern Europe back during the days of communist domination, and they would walk into an American supermarket and they would just like go into full lockup mode. They couldn't make a choice. There's so many choices.
Yep.
They're so used to having the choices made for them by government and by authoritarian forces. They didn't know how to choose. And it's kind of the same thing, the smorgasbord of information that you get on the web. There's a fortunate fallout from all of this, and that is because, as you've noted, there is so much opinion out there, masquerading as fact or analysis or whatever. It forces us to think for ourselves and to look at things critically and analytically and say, gee, you know, is this BuzzFeed story really plausible? I mean, is Donald Trump really a Russian agent? How likely is that? Probably not much. And so that's how that points out the whole slippery nature of defining what a fact is.
Yeah.
Now, you say to the average person, well, what's a fact? And they say, well, everybody knows a fact. A fact's a fact. Everybody knows a fact when they see one. No, you got to look at that a little bit more closely. It's a difficult concept to get your hands around.
Absolutely. And that's something I actually learned in science class, actually. Like how does the science community define facts? And which was really interesting for me to learn. I learned this in high school. It was a biology course. And they said that the science community specifically, the way they determine fact is just when a majority of the science community believes it to be true.
Capable of disproof, I think, isn't that another metric?
Yeah, yeah. So you could disprove it, but in the case of things that maybe don't have like a definitive way to disprove or prove it, it's just when the science community hits that threshold where it's like, well, the majority of scientists believe this. This is now how we will teach it. So when some things are taught as fact, and then later, which we've seen, you know, as technology has advanced, as science has advanced, later they go, oh, we used to teach this. Then we found out we were wrong. And generations of people grew up knowing that as fact. And now today it's like, nope, that was wrong. I mean, you take things even like our periodic table. It used to be a lot smaller. And as things progressed, it's bigger. There's more elements in there.
Yeah, we've added Ocasio-Cortezium to that. bacon is on there now, I see.
Oh, is it? Great.
Yeah.
I think bacon does deserve to be on there, personally.
No
question. I enjoy bacon. Yep. Bourbon should have its own spot, too. And then I think it'll be complete right there. So... so for some of the people who don't know, Larry Sharp was in Rochester this week, which was,
I felt a disturbance in the force.
You felt it, right? Yep. So, Larry and I did a couple events, yesterday. And for those of you who are like, Larry Sharp, who's that? Hopefully nobody who's listening is saying that, but just in case,
who's Larry Sharp?
Yep. So Larry Sharp ran for governor in 2018 last year against Cuomo. And he is out and about at it again. He's going around redoing the tour. He was the only candidate running for governor that actually went to all of the counties in New York State. In fact, I think the only candidate that's done it in like over 10 years or something like that. I can't remember the last candidate that's actually visited all of the counties in New York.
Well, see, you have to be actually interested in upstate New York to visit
really
all the counties.
You
know, if you only care about the island, and the five boroughs, you tend not to come up here.
Yeah. No, because it's true.
Or you got to go to Buffalo because you got to see the Buffalo Billion.
Yeah, yeah. They'll just hit the major metro areas. You know, they'll do Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester, maybe Utica, you know, and that's about it. But no, so Larry's out. He's about meeting with community, and both of us are out. We're actually doing things. And our big push is two things. One is home rule, which we've talked about before. Maybe we'll talk about it later in the show. But the other thing is just being there, listening to people still, providing our ideas still, talking about what's working, what's not working, and just still being a part of the community across the state to keep hope alive, keep people going. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back here in a moment on Radio Free New York.
You're listening to the Voice of Liberty. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
At University Eye Specialists, I see many patients who suffer from dry, irritated, or itchy eyes. Sometimes these symptoms are often due to severe dry eye. Over-the-counter eye drops often help, but sometimes dry eye may require treatment with prescription medication. Dry eye is a very treatable medical condition that should be taken very seriously. The health of your eyes is very important to us. Please feel free to call any one of our local offices for an appointment.
In America, we are living longer, healthier lives. The longer we live, the more likely we are to develop eye conditions such as glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic eye disease. If you are over the age of 40, it's important to have a thorough eye examination in order to identify vision-threatening conditions at an early stage. At University Eye, we have the technology and experience to screen for and to treat glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic retinopathy. At University Eye, your vision is our mission.
Phone 1-800-724-0938.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, we are back here on Radio Free New York. I'm Andrew Hollister, your host, and I want to start this off by giving a thank you to a few people, specifically Dennis and Debbie. Many of you guys know I was out of the country. I was in Europe for a couple weeks here, so I was gone for the holidays. And just recently, I noticed a small pile of mail at the office I didn't realize my staff had set aside for me for when I came back. And I opened up some of this mail, and I saw a Christmas card from Dennis and Debbie. They're listeners of the show. They listen. I think they listen to every show. And they're constantly trying to connect me with people, you know, help me network. So I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening and for thinking of me and sending me the card. That was absolutely amazing of you guys. And speaking of things I'm thankful for, and this is kind of personal, but I just share it with you guys because why not, you know? So you guys know yesterday Larry was in town, and him and I did a few events together. Well, what I didn't know is that my wife and Larry and some friends were actually planning a surprise birthday party for me.
When was your birthday?
So my birthday was the 27th of December. So
okay.
I was gone.
So yep. This is a retrospective. So okay.
Yep. So
happy birthday belatedly.
Thank you. Yeah. I turned 30. You know, which is, you know, for some that's young, for others that's old. For me, I'm still trying to figure out.
Do the ceremonial birthday fish slapping, you know, like in.
Yeah. So I had no idea that they were planning this. I knew something was going on, but I didn't know who was involved, and I had no idea that this was going to happen yesterday. And for those of you who haven't found this out yet, I'm a highly analytical person. So for people to surprise me is like extremely difficult because I see one or two things, I notice they're out of place, and always, like almost every surprise I've ever had in life, I've ruined for myself by just having that type of mindset. So I had no idea, you know, I thought her and I were going out to dinner afterwards. And of course there were little strange things throughout the whole, like, last part of the night. You know, Larry's leaving, a couple of guys are leaving. Oh, do you guys want to go out afterwards? no, we're just going to go back to the hotel. You know, really? When's that ever happened? You know, and a couple of friends had left the event early, which was out of, you know, just out of character for everybody. Hindsight's 20/20. So here we are walking into a restaurant that I actually suggested. So this played perfectly into her plan because she knew probably where I was going to want to go. So afterwards, she's like, oh, where do you want to go? I'm like, oh, why don't we go here? Okay, great. Didn't I choose a restaurant everybody's already sitting at waiting for us? So we walk in.
The magician's ruse.
Yeah. No, it was perfect. It was great. You know, so totally amazing and just left me feeling so thankful, you know, thankful for great, amazing friends, amazing family, and just good people around me. So I just,
so what are you, 30?
I'm 30 now. Yeah.
What a twerp you are.
Yeah. And so I blamed, you know, somebody was like, were you really surprised? Cause you're never surprised. Like nothing ever gets past you. I was like, no, I was genuinely surprised. And I was like, maybe now that I'm 30, I'm getting old, you know, I'm losing my touch.
You're,
you
getting
know,
old.
Something, you know? Yeah. But, no, so I just, today I woke up feeling, just really thankful, you know, thankful for the listeners on the show, thankful for the show, my business, my staff, my family, my friends. So today feels really good. So I had to make sure that I ruined that by listening to Cuomo's State of the State.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah.
How long did it, was it like 4 or 5 hours long?
Oh my goodness. It was so long. And like it was so long. So I tried to actually listen to it last night, because I figured somebody would call in or ask a question or something. And actually, now that I bring that up, if somebody does want to call into the show, 346-3000, that's area code 585-346-3000, or comment on the live stream. I see comments have been pouring in throughout the show. I'll scroll through them. But yeah, so...
Like an address from Kim Jong-un. You know, I mean, where they you just have to stand there and clap like a trained seal.
Oh, yeah.
And well, and they're there for hours. It's, oh, my God. I mean, first of all, the guy is demented in his progressiveness.
Oh, it's, yeah. Well, and like, just to give you an idea, so I knew that somebody would ask me a question about it at some point, but I hadn't really made the time to listen to it. And it's kind of like his inaugural speech, right? Like, it's really hard to make time to sit down and listen to somebody you don't like hearing speak, you know, and you know it's going to be like a bunch of lies or twisted facts or just bad stuff, you know. So yesterday I tried to turn it on and listen to it. And within the first few minutes, I mean, just, you know, hearing his voice and stuff, my wife and I got together. We figured we'd have a group therapy session so that we could just, you know, cope with what we had to hear. And then, you know, earlier this morning, I tried to listen to a little bit more of it. And just, you know, right away, he started off trying to divide people. Just straight out of the gates.
Angry,
know?
Arrogant.
Yep, and Democrats this and Republicans that, and just trying to smash that wedge in between everybody. Because one of the only ways that big government can be successful is if the populace is divided. Because if the populace comes together, they realize, like we're seeing with the government shutdown right now, that we don't need as much government. We can work together as a community. And there are good people. So what they need to do is they need to keep people divided. And, I mean, that was so apparent. Just right out of the gate, within the first 120 seconds of his speech, he was slamming the right, promoting the left, trying to divide people. And you see this happen in people's families. I mean, you see parents and kids that can't get together, or siblings that can't get together because, you know, dinner time's ruined, the holidays. You see people posting about, oh, we had to talk about this, you know.
Well, that's what public education – see, public education does. It's another example. The kids are – a wedge is driven between the kids and the parents using the curricula. Basically, the message from public education is your parents are old, your parents are stupid, your parents are Neanderthal, they're backwards, they're uninformed, and we know best, because it's vitally important for the progressive left to have control over the youth, over the kids. because that's the future. I mean, obviously, demographically, they're going to be around a lot longer than the parents are. Mm-hmm. So they write us old folks off, but boy, they sure focus like a laser beam on the young people.
Yep, yep.
And it's not good. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think one of the biggest areas that every area could be improved in education, every area. But I think one of the biggest areas that we should really, really focus on trying to fix is history, social studies, because
you mean like actually teaching it?
Yeah, yeah, actually teaching it. And Sean, I actually met with a parent who said he was actually banned from the school campus.
Oh, that happens
because,
a lot.
Because he basically said, you're not teaching accurate history. And he actually met with, you know, the principal and the teacher and everything. And they were like, well, this is what the book says. And he's like, really? Like, here's
get
the
a different book
from Lincoln. Here's this and that. Like, here's all the
information. What if the book is actually a copy of Penthouse that somebody slipped into a, you know, the dust jacket from a text?
Yeah.
I mean, can we be a little analytical about this? Maybe your book sucks.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this whole thing was about, is he's like, history is pretty clear. Like, look at the Library of Congress. Look at these books that have the actual scanned copies of these writings. What your history book is directly conflicting with this. Like, and I know this because – and he did his entire college dissertation on it, you know, so he was very well versed in the subject. And they said, okay, you know what? You're right. Your child's not going to fail for this, but you're not allowed to come to school anymore. And that's just, you know, we're discouraging people from being free thinking people. We're discouraging people for going out and finding accurate information. And what that's literally doing, and I've got friends that tell me about this, and this was high school, but I have friends who have gone through college, and they tell me that what they do is they write their paper in agreeance with whatever the professor's political affiliation is, because they're worried about failing.
It's a matter of survival now.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the totalitarian world that's being dreamed up for us by the left, and you see it manifesting. It's always authority. It's always, okay, Mr. Dissertation, shut up and get off our campus.
Yeah,
we don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah, and the thing that's just surprising to me about that, or that it's even like acceptable in society, is why should or would the students even know the political background or political beliefs of their professors? It should be totally independent.
Exactly.
You shouldn't know it.
The professors are supposed to be a conduit of the truth and independent thought, and teaching these kids how to think, not what to think, which is, of course, not the agenda in higher education today.
It certainly, if it wasn't that, you know, it's very hard to see it any other way. But what we should be teaching is critical thinking. We should be providing education in the form of this is what happens. And we talked earlier on the show how facts can change, and facts aren't always as clear as we'd like to pretend that they are. But education, higher education, high school education, elementary education should never be where a child even knows or knows what the teacher's political beliefs are or personal beliefs are, even as far as I'd say like religion, unless you're paying to go to like a private religious school and you're paying for that to be a part of your education. I think that for education to be truly rich and to take that child throughout life, that you check those things at the door and you go in and you teach critical thinking, you teach problem solving skills, you teach that sort of thing, so that then the students can find what's best for them. And if that means teaching a piece of history, and I should actually say this, the overwhelming majority, if not all of the social study teachers I know personally, all are, you know, like conservative thinkers, free-minded individuals, and they actually teach history, to my understanding, as history was, and they stay away from all that because they actually do want to do that. But I meet people all the time that say they have a totally different experience.
Well, the trend is away from that. Okay. And we frequently tell the story of, you know, when we were kids, your high school teachers were they had a particular love for the subject matter. So your math teacher really, really loved algebra, geometry, trig, whatever it is. History teachers loved history and were students of history. Now these public school educators are basically technicians. They're there to kind of shepherd the kids through this preordained curriculum.
Yep.
And they get the handouts and they're told, once again, you know, it's a politically charged, slanted version of, I mean, there's politics in everything. There's politics gets injected even into math.
Yeah, yeah, and the word problems, you know, the word problems in math. You've got, like, political things in there.
Right.
And it's actually interesting that that comes up because...
And they're not conservative political things.
No, 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 they're not. They're not, definitely. And I've seen some stuff that I'm not going to repeat here on the airwaves, you know, but math problems given to children in, like, third grade and stuff that just seemed graphic, I guess, is maybe, like, you know, something that a third grade wouldn't... shouldn't be solving in math class.
There's a lot of LGBTQ stuff in there, as sexual references. And
yeah, and before kids, you know, have gone through health class to understand what that stuff means. Now, I like to hope deep inside when I see these things going across the internet that people are making this up and it's not actually true. But that goes back to, do you know what's true? Can you find the facts? There's so much stuff. It's so convoluted. So, yeah, it's a big problem. It really is. We're going to take another break here on Radio Free New York, and I'm going to read through the comments and respond to some of these here. So we'll catch you guys back in a second.
From Avon Feed and Supply, introducing Dry Shod waterproof footwear. Dry, comfortable feet, even on those warmer days. Avon Feed has a big selection of Dry Shod for men and women, offering fully flexible athletic shoe sizing for great fit and maneuverability. Its exclusive insulation breathes and keeps you warm without bulk, and you'll stay dry top to bottom with state-of-the-art waterproofing. While you're at Avon Feed, find everything for your pet, from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has with a big pet chain stores will never have Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including hard to find mean and nasty, plus once again nut butters, Nunday mustards, and Rickles pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply, West Main Street at the bottom of the hill, just west of the Circle.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
So we're back here on Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, and I was going to respond to some comments on social media, but before I do, I want to talk about Ben Wassel. Now, I'm sure you guys have heard this. If you haven't, this is for you. Ben Wassel is the first person in New York State arrested under the New York State SAFE Act. I personally call it the Unsafe Act, because it didn't make anything safe for citizens, law-abiding citizens specifically. It did, however, make things safe for criminals. I think that their liability insurance and their comp probably went down, you know, from black market insurance once they found out that less gun owners in New York would be able to defend themselves from break-ins and things like that. So Ben Wassel, he's a military veteran. He's 90% combat disabled. He's a father of two. He has an appeal for his case on February 28th, 9 a.m., and that'll be at the courthouse on 50 East Ave in Rochester, New York. So I'm asking people to please show up. Sounds like we're going to have a gathering after the court appearance as well. Also sounds like there's going to possibly be some media there. So what does that mean? That means come dressed appropriately. You know, if the media is going to listen to our side of the story, if the media is going to listen to us, we want to make sure that when we show up, we look like, you know, we want to be taken seriously. So
yeah, don't come dressed up as Ben Franklin with a rubber chicken
exactly,
waving like, around or
yep.
or some replica of a gun or yeah please.
Yeah, yeah. And they, you know, the courtroom, from my understanding, is small. So bring some warm clothes because we might be standing outside if we can't get in, which is fine. We need to be there. We should be there. So just dress appropriately. Make sure you're warm. And please consider showing up. That is February 28th, 9 o'clock in the morning at 50 East Avenue in Rochester.
Oh, by the way, a parallel case here, just a quick news update. Gun Owners of America and its legal arm, Gun Owners Foundation, this week continued their defense of Jeremy Kettler, who is similarly a disabled combat veteran. GOAGOF submitted a petition for writ of certiorari before the U.S. Supreme Court on behalf of Kettler after he was convicted for violating the National Firearms Act. The Obama Justice Department brought criminal felony charges against Kettler for illegally possessing, I hope you're sitting down, ladies and gentlemen, an unregistered firearm suppressor. Despite the fact that Kansas, quote, Second Amendment Protection Act protected his actions. So that's going to SCOTUS, and hopefully they'll take the case up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So once again, Ben Wassel, February 28th, 9 a.m., 50 East Avenue Courthouse. I hope you guys are there with me.
Very good.
So checking through the comments on social media, a whole bunch of people having fun with the birthday thing here. You know, Jay says that he grew up with floppy disks, you know, riding his bike, playing in the woods, you know, as well. But one of the comments actually that came through on YouTube that I want to hit, especially since I traveled recently, was that his relatives, this guy is Albert is his name. He says, my relatives just got through TSA really fast today at the Newark airport. Shouldn't it be slower during the government shutdown? Is it because less people are deciding to travel during the shutdown? I don't know if less people are traveling or not. I'm not sure. What I have seen, which has been really interesting, is news reports of, in JFK Airport anyways, the TSA agents really getting pretty lax, I think is the best word, playing explicit music over the PA system, things like that.
Really?
Because the supervisors, I guess, are calling in sick. They're not showing up. They're out driving Uber instead to pay for their bills. I don't know how much of that is true, but I see it popping up like in the news, on Twitter and stuff, people tweeting about it as they're going through security. So I don't know if people are traveling less. I do wonder if people think it's not as safe and maybe traveling less, or if it's just we missed the we're outside the holiday season now. Things are probably winding down, and a lot of people are focused on paying their credit card bills from the holidays, so maybe they don't have the money to travel. I'm not sure. But the one thing that I did want to bring up from my trip recently is how TSA, in my opinion, and this is not just here in the United States because I travel internationally as well, is really just security theater. The things that they try to restrict you from and then allow you to have don't necessarily make you safer, but make it extremely inconvenient. And I'll give you guys the example of razors. And I'm sure somebody will comment about the Gillette commercial that I haven't seen, that everybody's losing their minds about. And I haven't used a Gillette product in like 10, 11 years. So I just, you know, I'm not concerned about it. I don't buy their product anyways. But I know apparently that's really, you know, people are getting pretty upset about that. And then other people who said they saw it said there's nothing to be upset about. I don't know. Comment in about that if you have an opinion. But so when I shave, as you guys are looking at me in the live stream, you see I've got some facial hair here. So you're probably thinking, how often do you really shave? when I shave, I use one of those old fashioned style double safety razors. So I have the blades that go in those, and that's all I have. That's why.
Does Gillette still make blades?
I don't know if Gillette does. I don't buy their products. I actually buy blades made in Japan because they have the best steel for razor blades, and they're cheap. I get a pack of 25 blades for maybe less than a dollar, you know, and it lasts me a good long time. And they don't expire, so I just buy like a little crate of them. They sit there. I haven't bought razor blades in probably like 7 years, I think. So that's what I buy. And these are the blades that you can actually snap in half and put on a straight edge razor, which occasionally I'll do a straight edge razor shave as well when I've got enough time in the day and, you know, I relax and kind of be methodical with it. So here I go. I make it through USA TSA. I make it through, who else did I make it through? I think Britain TSA. And I land in Paris. My bag, I had to re-go through security because that's just however they do it. And my bag gets pulled away and taken, you know, and I get pulled aside and they're like, do you have razors in your bag? And I'm like, Yeah, of course I do. How am I going to shave? Like, you know, I don't travel with like a checked luggage. I only travel with a carry-on. So what's in that bag is what I take with me. And I'm like, yeah, of course I've got razors. Like, what'd you think?
Can
like,
they tell that from the x-ray? You know?
Or? Yeah, clearly they knew already. They knew where in the bag to find it. They're like, you can't have this. I'm like, what do you mean I can't have this? I've made it through like 3-4 other airports already on this, just this one trip. What do you mean? And they're like, well, in France and Italy, you're not allowed to have this. And I'm like, really? Shaving razors? I can't have this? Okay, whatever. I'm out like 12 cents or something. Go ahead, take it. Then I proceed. I've now made it past security. I'm going in. I go use the bathroom. Aren't they for sale in the bathroom? You know, with the little machine where you can get like moisturizer, condoms, and razors. You know, and I'm like, seriously? This is just, you know, so it just goes to show that it's not there to protect you or keep you safe, because they're literally selling them.
The illusion of safety.
Yeah, it's the illusion of safety. I had another interesting thing happen on this trip, and I didn't really think about it. My boots would set off the alarm when I was going through the thing, and this was also in Paris. And it was weird. They don't normally do that. I don't normally have an issue. So they put me through the little thing, and the boots are going off or whatever. And then they have you step in, like, this machine that, like, analyzes your shoe or something like that. And they go off. And I'm like, what's going on? So ultimately, they take my boots. They run it through the x-ray machine, and that's fine. They give them back to me. And so I talk with somebody later, and they're like, oh, have you ever gone shooting? You know, you go to the range wearing those boots. Oh, yeah, all the time. I wear these boots all the time. Like, yeah, probably the residue from the gunpowder is what was setting off the machines. I never thought of that before, and that's not normally an issue with me, but it was pretty interesting. So needless to say, they let you go through all of this security, yet they let you take like the battery banks and cell phones. Remember when cell phones used to explode and catch on fire and stuff like that? They let you take all this stuff on, and then and I don't know if you guys know this, you can't have them in a non-pressurized cabin because they can explode. So that's why they say you can't put a laptop in your checked luggage, you can't put a cell phone, or
so if they lose cabin battery pressure, yep, you got a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the checked luggage isn't pressurized. Some planes it is, but many planes it's not. So what was really interesting to me is that's a legitimate threat, I think. You know, having exploding batteries on a plane, that seems pretty dangerous.
No.
Yeah. Versus, you know, razor blade that you shave your face with. So a few of the flights I went on, they didn't allow people to take their carry-ons with them. It was a smaller plane, and they're like, nope, we can't check it, or you can't have it, so it gets checked. Well, the flight attendants didn't even know to tell people to take the electronics out of their bags that were going under the plane. And so I asked them, I said, hey, is it safe for my laptop to be going under the plane and my battery bank? And they're like, oh, we don't know. So they pick up the phone, they call somebody, they're like, oh, no, like those can't be under there. It's like, I just watched like 100 people like hand you their bag.
Oh,
nobody even
gosh
checked this.
Now, do I get on this plane now or do I not?
Yeah, seriously. So the whole TSA thing and all that, like Larry and I were talking about this yesterday. Like, they don't catch anybody anyways. You know, they don't.
No, most of the interceptions, you know, like the underwear bomber and the guy that the shoe bomber, They were caught by alert passengers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Who noticed this guy doing
acting
something
weird,
bizarre
doing weird and stuff? Yep, yeah, yep, absolutely.
And that, listen, I don't want to pile on the TSA guys though. You know, the most of the news reports that we have gotten, bear in mind, these people are working with no paycheck.
Yes, no, currently they are absolutely,
and they don't make much. Okay. I think at the supervisory level, you might make 50.
Okay.
But most of these guys are making between 30 and 35, mm-hmm, and they're still on the job. They're at least they're showing up.
Yeah. Well, some of them are.
most of them. It's not a tremendous amount of sick outs going on. Okay. It is gradually increasing.
That's what it sounds
That's
like.
That's what it's the trend
more
is. But you look at the waits, you know, you can actually call up online and find out what the waits are for screening in major airports, mm-hmm, different gates and whatnot, and they're all pretty much in the normal range.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not, you know, trying to bash on them specifically. More so the guidelines being set forth by, you know, whoever runs the TSA, I guess. And, you know, the silly decision in France and Italy to now you can't have a shaving razor, but, oh, by the way, we sell them, you know. So, like, that sort of stuff, it doesn't make you safe. It makes you feel better. It makes you feel like something good is happening.
And policy, of course, is not the fault of the people who are out there.
Exactly.
You know, doing the jobs.
Yep. They're not the ones that created those policies.
They were hired to do this, but there's lots of dumb policy. No question about that.
Yeah. Well, I would say in New York, we really know what that feels like, the dumb policy for sure. So here it is, guys. This is another episode of Radio Free New York. If you want to hear me talk about something, comment, shoot me an email, send me a message, and we will catch you guys on Monday.